Next week, I'm sharing the story of Sadhu Sundar Singh. That's a missionary. He was a missionary in his area in India, and he just walked from his village and started sharing the gospel. And just as Jesus came to us as one of us, so Sadhu Sundar Singh didn't put on a suit and tie when he became a Christian and dressed in a Western way. He stayed dressed in the Eastern way and in the Indian way and shared the gospel in that way. In some ways, looked more like Jesus. I'm excited to share that God come story next week for Family Advent Sunday. Does it feel like Christmas yet? No? Yes? Little of each? There's a woman who bought some Christmas cards. She bought a pack of 50 at the store. She was in a big rush. And she hurried up and addressed them all and put names and sent them off. And after they were all sent off, she was able to breathe. And she found one that was left over. It hadn't been sent, so she opened it to see what was inside. And she thought, oh, I should read this message here. And she read the message inside the Christmas card and said, just a little note to say, a little gift is on the way to all 50 of her addressees. Hopefully you're not having that kind of Advent. But there's a lot of things we do every year to try to make sure it feels like Christmas. And I just wanted to reflect with us this year, how can we have that amazement of Christmas this year? How can we sense God's presence thick in our lives and in our schedules? And so, as we look at today, the story of Elizabeth, how many Elizabeths do we have here today? Is it all three or two of our three? I love that. Elizabeth. And this is the story of Elizabeth, Luke 1. We're going to be chapter 1, verses 39 through 45, so please turn your Bibles with me if you will. There are Bibles in the seat rack in front of you. However you want to open it, I just want to reflect and make sure that we are seeing that God's word is more important than the preacher's words, and we want to hear his word clearly. So as soon as you have that, would you stand with me in honor of God's word? Luke 1, verses 39 through 45. And let's ask God to bless this reading to us. Heavenly Father, we ask you would speak to our hearts the words we need to hear, Lord. Through this written word, we ask we would listen to your spirit, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Luke 1, verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you. You may be seated. What a beautiful scene, isn't it? Two mothers here with miraculous conceptions, both of them. They're joining to rejoice together. And last week we saw how Mary was visited by the angel who told her the Son of God in her womb. Her example showed us to see that the world in God's perspective. And so with God's perspective, we can live in God's plan and how blessed we are. We can be filled with amazement if we do that. To see more about Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah, they had priestly roots. Together they were barren, though. They were childless, so their roots would not extend past their own lives. And you get the sense they didn't like that. They were frustrated by it, but they were too old to do anything else as far as they knew. They were done trying and maybe done with hope. But one day when Zechariah had the honor of doing the evening burnt offering, maybe a once-in-a-lifetime event, an angel came and visited him and revealed that he would become a father. But unlike Mary, he questioned the good news. He didn't believe it was going to happen. Despite being a priest in that priestly office, he didn't have enough faith in the messenger or the message, if you can believe it. And so the angel gave God's judgment in the form of a sign. He would be unable to speak. So there's something ironic here. This man who did not praise God for the miracle when the message came would not be able to praise him until the birth. But Elizabeth, She did receive it as good news, as a miracle. And you can hear the joy in her voice today, can't we? You might have seen these, well, you might in your own life see two sisters or two friends get together who are both pregnant, and they're eagerly excited to talk about what's going on with that. And just imagine what this would have been like for Mary and Elizabeth to exchange notes here. Mary rushes off to the hill country of Judea with her good news to share it, perhaps with the only person who might understand it. And there's a chapel on the site of the Visitation where they think it happened to this day. And so there's Elizabeth there now, and they're exchanging stories and how differently they now hear the prophecies that were read at the synagogue and recited at home, how differently they hear about the hope of Israel coming, excited for what's coming in their wombs. These two women are beautiful contrast of how God can bless two people in faithful ways. Both were barren, but for very different reasons. And their children are going to have very different callings. Both would be, verse 16 said, to bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord, both of them. But John the Baptist would proclaim God's judgment, and Jesus would announce God's grace. John would signal the end of the old covenant, and Jesus the beginning of the new. Both would be mistaken for Elijah and minister in his spirit-filled power. I compiled the list here. I know it's kind of small, but it's fascinating how unique each of them are and how tied together John and Jesus are. One would prepare a people for the Lord, and the other would receive that people. One would come in the spirit and power of the greatest Old Testament prophet, and the other one is that power, the power of God. John the Baptist would preach a baptism of repentance, and Jesus would bring a baptism of new life. And so there's so much that's the same, but also so much that's different. John would herald the end of the old covenant. I want you to remember this. And Jesus would announce the beginning of the new. And so together, they would show this great turning of the page in salvation history. Here and all over the world, it's happening now with these two children. So in the midst of this dramatic reality, there's another truth that comes along. And I just want to say, if you weren't sure whether or not the Bible cares about women or God cares about women, this scene here is just a wonderful scene. A whole chapter of the Bible, the men take back seat, and these women exemplify faith in God as a shining light of what that looks like. And guys, every once in a while, we got to take back seat. That's just the way that it goes. And pregnancy is one of those times. There's a lot of times as a dad, I would proudly say we're pregnant. Even though knowing that my body was doing almost nothing when it came to that little child that was being formed. My wife's body was doing all the work. And so this Advent season is one of waiting for God's plan to come to birth. And pregnancy is a good analogy of that. And we've had a lot of pregnancy. There might be something in the water, just saying there's a Christmas dinner afterwards. You never know. But we praise God for babies. Amen. And we're always happy to see a new one come along or find out some news that someone else is pregnant. Having a baby is an act of hope, right? I think we sense this more in our day than ever before. Many who don't hope are choosing in this age not to have children. And it's a statistic that is all over the world right now, couples not having children. And those who are having children are not doing it out of a hope of our present age, but a hope in something greater than what human culture or society can offer. I remember about 10, 15 years ago, a young adult came to me, and he was dating, and we were talking about stuff, and he said he didn't know how parents could bring children into such a dark world. And 15 years ago, I understood. And in this day and age, I understand. And yet the only reason we know and want to, I feel like, is just out of hope, and hope in who God is, and hope together in the relationship that God is forming. It is out of hope. And God has hope for us. We who follow Jesus have our hope in God. And this comes for parents with biological children as well as adopting children. I heard Curtis Chang say this week, at a time when God could have given up on humanity, the Father sent the Son, Jesus, as a way of saying, I'm all in on this. I'm doubling down on my plan. There's a new covenant coming. I have hope for everyone in Jesus. Amen? We have hope in Him. That's where our hope is. And can we also take a moment to say that God loves pregnancy and babies as one of His good gifts? He designed the family intentionally so that babies come from husbands and wives who love each other. That's His design. Of course, not all parents are committed in love to their children, and we see that. But that's God's design, for parents to commit in love to children. And that's when children do best. We can have, by the grace of God, in a responsible community, every child can have a healthy family, right? And it's important for us to reflect from time to time on how we can help ensure that as a community and what our part is. And it's a little different for me as a young adult versus middle adult Eric versus eventually grandparent or retired Eric. You know, there's different parts, but we all have to reflect on how we can help be a society that welcomes babies, all the babies. Right now, there are some cultural forces that are trying to say that any man can be a woman and any woman can be a man, that biology does not matter. But these two untruthful statements bring harm to people. God made man and God made woman, and each has a uniqueness in God's design. And we see that very clearly in pregnancy and childbirth, that wonderful gift of children that God gives. Another thing this passage affirms very solidly is the beauty of a child in the womb. Only women can be mothers, and fathers have an important role as well. Can I get an amen, mothers? But if God can fill a child with the Holy Spirit even before birth, that says something to us about the importance of babies from conception all the way to birth and all the way to adulthood and to the grave. God cares about all of life from the youngest ones on the planet. So baby John and baby Jesus are here. They've already been named by the angels. The angels have already told them what to name these children because God has planned for them and their names mean something. And so there's a big moment that happens. These two babies come together. What verse is that? Here we go. Verse 41. Baby John leaps in the womb when they come together. And the Holy Spirit fills Elizabeth at the same time. What must have that been like? Verse 42 says, in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. It sounds like Elizabeth has not been told, but comes to the realization that this child that's filled with the Holy Spirit, this child is the coming Messiah, the Savior. This, as we hear, is another act of prophecy. It's now Elizabeth who's prophesying. And at the moment she's filled, we can assume John was filled as well, fulfilling the promise the angel made in verse 15 that says, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. And here it's happening. This is the moment of amazement in this text. This is the point in the story where we are brought into awe, along with these ladies, of God's miraculous work. God's presence was not only guiding these women, but His Spirit fills this moment, and now all four of these are filled with the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful scene. Mary goes on in the next scripture to sing about her wondrous joy, and I'm just mentioning it today because the lyrics are full of John's message and Jesus' message, and there's three themes. I put them in your notes, and also I'm putting it right here. First of all, there is joy. We just hear it. And secondly, there's a casting down of the proud. You know, you think of King Herod and the Pharisees later on. They're being called to account by John's message. But also there's a mercy to God's people. And Jesus talks about the mercy of God all the time. So it sounds like the messages of these two babies are brought together in this beautiful Magnificat, as it's called, Mary's glorification. God scatters the proud, it says in verse 51, and God lifted up the humble. So God uses the lowly in heart and not the proud. God has an agenda and a mission and intrudes upon everyone and everything. And God's Spirit is the power behind that mission. I found a 100-year-old news, kind of a newsletter to preachers this week, and I heard the story again of Charles Finney. Charles Finney was an evangelist in the Midwest, and he traveled. He gave big evangelist services at tents and in churches. And the power of the Holy Spirit was so strong as he spoke that sometimes people would just fall out of their chairs while they were sitting there. I don't see anybody falling out of their chair yet, but we'll pray for it. We'll pray for it. His spirit, God's spirit was so mighty on this man as he ministered. And so Finney would preach, and he would not only preach in these gatherings, but he would go in places to invite them to come. And I read the story this week. He went to a cotton mill. And as he went there, he didn't even speak. He just walked into that place, and people sensed the power of his countenance and sensed the Holy Spirit there with him. He has two friends that travels with him a lot of times who would pray and just pray for God's anointing for his ministry. And so they gave the account of what happened. And as he was there, people's hands could no longer tie the frayed knots and could no longer work. People were just trembling. They were trembling under the power of the Spirit, but also the conviction of their sin. And so the wool operator, or the cotton mill operator, just made an announcement to the supervisor, telling them that stop the mill. It's more important that our souls should be saved than that the factory should run. So people began praying and confessing their sin, and they had a kind of a praying time and service right there at that cotton mill. Many people came to Christ. And through his ministry, many people not only were saved, but also helped the needy. The abolition work was strong in his ministry, and the Underground Railroad, he supported that as well. So God used him for mighty things, and it was the Holy Spirit that was powerful in him that had filled his ministry. So really, when you look at it, there's a strong message, a subtext in all of this of personal calling, that Mary has this very unique child, and Elizabeth has this very unique child. They each, these children, will have amazing ministries as adults that are very unique. And so Elizabeth declares she is favored because she sees it as favor she doesn't deserve. And she sees it as grace in her life. And she's excited for this calling God has. That reminds us of what the angel told Mary in verse 28 and then again in verse 29, that she was favored, that she was highly favored. God's grace and favor are upon them. Now, it's easy to feel that way on when you're pregnant on some days, right? And then these ladies have miraculous pregnancies, so they knew that. And they had very special children in them, so that was a part of their blessing. This was also meant to instruct us as well. This story is for us. We, each of us, have unique callings. And there are two points that come together in this passage today to show us and to help us with our own callings. The first one is in verse 45, and that is that you can trust God's plan. Verse 45 says, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Now, right after this, Mary sings, and so it sounds like she's announcing Mary's blessedness. But actually, this is a statement for herself and for Mary, and it works for all of us. That any of us, when we believe God's promises for us and his journey, the calling he has for our life, that we are blessed because he will fulfill it. And friends, do you believe that God will fulfill his calling in your life? That sounded like an amen over there. All right. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of this. Why don't you just turn to someone close to you and say, "You can trust God's plan." Because God has the big picture in mind. He sees, he knows, and we can trust him. Sometimes we just need to remind ourselves, say out loud to ourselves, or sometimes when someone around us needs to hear it. You can trust God's plan. And the second part goes right along with this. You can be filled with the Spirit. Now, in this moment of salvation history, this is a special blessing that was promised for John the Baptist. But later on in the New Testament, this was a mark that a Christian was actually one of Jesus' people. Because the Jews thought of themselves all as God's people, and it made sense with their understanding, but the Messiah was coming, and he would come to bring salvation to everyone. And so the mark of who were Jesus' people was the filling of the Holy Spirit. And you read that as you go through Acts, you can see all these various times that the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. And deep down inside of us, I believe we all want this. When we're living in sin or living in our flesh as sinners, we can forget this. We're blinded to it sometimes, but we still sense it in various ways, and it's a part of the image of God in us. Think of it this way. Why do some people get glued to slot machines for days upon end? Why do some people traffic and why do some people take unknown drugs? You hear about people dying of drugs. They don't even know what's in there, and they take them. Why do people do that? Why do people invest so wildly in the stock market at times? I know nothing's perfectly safe, but you know what I mean. Some people just throw money sometimes into investments in a risky way. There's an excitement that we're looking for in our lives. And I believe that the biggest and best excitement we can have in our lives is following the Holy Spirit. Because what's he going to do? We don't know. What's the Spirit going to ask us to do? Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't. But that longing for adventure that each of us has in us, I believe God put there because he wants us to have the Spirit in us. Anybody else sense that? Or is it just me? All right. What's more risky than telling God, take my heart, shape me according to your will? See, we want God's will and way here on earth. And while we're living in the Spirit, not only do we see what God wants, but we get to be a part of the fulfillment of that, of righteousness, justice, peace, and wholeness. And who doesn't want that? The Holy Spirit is the one who's at work to bring it to pass. And so the promise of the filling of the Spirit is something we need, is something we long for, and is something that God is offering to us. And this scripture today reminds us of this. Mary sings her song, the Magnificat, and maybe your calling has to do with justice, helping people get what they deserve. Maybe it has to do with compassion, loving those who are in need. Either way, that's looking out for those who are in the margins. And the Old Testament speaks much about the fatherless, the foreigner, and the widow. And no matter how much you think government should be involved in taking care of these, those who are in need, we citizens need to be involved, and we Christians have to fulfill what God calls us to do, no matter what the government has set up. And besides, only people can love, right? The government can't love anyways. And so serving others at their point of need, and sometimes that's inside the church, sometimes that's outside the church. God calls us to be a blessing in our world. Maybe your call is in the church. I'll just ask, are both men and women called? Yes. I think the scripture is pretty obvious. Everyone is called by God to serve. Maybe your calling is outside the walls of the church, the ministry of the church, but verse 45 says that there is a fulfillment. Blessed is she who has believed the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. God can make a fulfillment in our lives. That's the point of trust and faith. And if we take hold of that truth, that promise, God will bless us and bless those around us. That's the joy of living in his call, in obedience to it. Now, I can say this in a few ways. God fulfills with this promise with the filling of the Holy Spirit. And when we're in full alignment with God, that's when he fulfills this promise to us. Because you can't be filled with the Spirit and not be aligned with God's will and way. And conversely, you can't be aligned with God's will and way without being filled with the Spirit. Those two things go together. So we have to pray to receive it. And the Holy Spirit wants to fill so much. God wants to fill our week and our days. He wants to fill all of our interactions with loved ones and strangers and everyone in between. These things can all be filled with the Spirit, but the most that God wants to fulfill in our lives, he wants to fill us. He wants to fill his people. He wants to fill our hearts so that that overflow that comes from his filling can be a blessing into others. And so that leaves us with really the final question for this, and that is, how do we get filled with the Spirit? Well, Acts 13:52 talks about by prayer that they were all filled with the Spirit, all the disciples. And others, Matthew 18, Jesus tells us that where two or more are gathered, there I will be with you. And this is that scene, two or more are gathered, and here's a filling of the Spirit, what do you know? Romans 8:15 through 16 tells us that God's people are his children. It says, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And we are children of God. But it's his Spirit testifying in us that we sense that. We feel that. And we know it. And then Paul goes on to explain how that happens. Romans 12. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And then he goes on to say, next slide, please. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I love how he talks about our bodies, because without our bodies, we might think in our head we've done something, but when we have to actually do it with ourselves and do it in our lives and do it in a tangible way, the obedience becomes physical, manifest in the physical world around us. But it starts with our minds. We let God transform our minds. We let him work and remake our understanding of everything. Ask him to apply his lordship to our minds. And so, by the transformation of our minds and bodies, the Holy Spirit fills us. We're left with really a question. Do you want to be filled with the Spirit? I know I just said that in a preacher-like way. It's a question for each of us. Do you want to be filled with the Spirit? And it's worth asking. If you already are filled, or if you haven't been filled yet, it's worth asking. There was a young man who, all his life, he had a birthmark on one side of his face. It was pretty large, and it was a port wine colored, a dark red color. People would often, if they knew him well enough, they would ask him why he had such a confidence about life. Because he went about life with such a boldness, and they saw that. And so they would ask him, why do you have such a confidence? And he said, I know I have a birthmark that many would consider disfiguring, but I've never thought of it as that. My father told me from a very young age that an angel must have kissed me there. He said to me, son, this marking was for Dad, that I might know that you are mine, that you have been marked out by God just to remind me that you're my son. And so he told his son every day, every chance he could, you are important and special, and God has a calling on your life. And so he said, I was raised in that understanding. And so I even came to a point where I felt sorry for those who didn't have a mark of their calling on their face, because it showed me who I was in Jesus. And friends, the mark of the Holy Spirit isn't visible necessarily. It's not physical, but yet it's inside us, and it changes who we are. It shows us who we are in Christ. We're going to pray in just a moment. I just want to prepare us for that prayer. In Mary's song, she sings about the toppling of power systems and structures and the raising up of the humble and lowly. And it reminds us that God doesn't fill the heart that looks worthy to him. God fills the heart that shows itself worthy only by its willingness. That we simply have to surrender. It takes a wholehearted surrender. We can't hold anything back. And from that surrender, into that surrender, that willing cup, God pours his Spirit. Anything we hold back from him is less of Jesus that we can have. And so he's waiting for a cup that's empty, that's wholeheartedly his. So I want to pray for that for us. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, in this holy moment, we reflect that we're not worthy of you, and we know that. Sometimes we keep trying and trying and trying without your grace. We're here to say today, we're done trying. As these two ladies whose wombs could not be filled by themselves, Lord, that you filled their spirit. You brought these precious children of promise by your grace and power as a symbol to remind us that you fill by your Spirit, Lord, the willing cup, the wholehearted, surrendered one. So we ask, Lord, today, if there are any here that are asking for the first time to fill me, Lord. We ask with that one, those ones, we ask, Lord, you would fill. Because we know your grace and power for each of us, Lord. We know we need it. We know we can't even make it through this life, let alone serve you and obey you without the power of your Spirit. So we're asking today afresh, or maybe for the first time, for your filling, Lord, to fill us, fill every moment of our day, fill every aspect of our lives, our talent, the things we hold, the things we have, our responsibilities, our commitments. Lord, we ask you would fill all these things, that you would chart the course. You would show us, Lord, what your will and way is for us. We ask. We ask it right now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.